Hello and welcome to the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. Make sure you follow OTG on Twitter at OTGBasketball. Also hit that subscribe button. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me as always, Corey Waldron. And all the way from South Korea, Dennis Dow. What's up, fellas?
Hi-o. What's up?
South Korea, what are you doing over there?
Teaching, man. Teaching. Spreading the word of English to the South Korean students.
Well, that's awesome. I didn't know that. That's
yeah,
dope.
Man. Yeah. Yeah, it's in the word of basketball. 4 o'clock Eastern time, 4 o'clock local time, but 4 a.m. So I'm ready, man. I'm jazzed about talking about some NBA. Let's do this.
God bless you being up that early. Man, we got a lot of NBA talk. We're going to start with, you know, the biggest story, something we talk about every year, different parts of the season, and that's the Cavaliers, and they're struggling right now. Three straight losses, 3-7 in their last 10, worst defensive rating in the league in January, you know. Not a lot of effort on the defensive end. What's going on with the Cavs right now?
Well, I don't know, man. It's like every time you want to write the Cavs off, you just keep looking back at like, you know, the last year in the playoffs and then this season. And so, I don't know. I think it's tough to write them off. I mean, they have some big issues defensively that I don't think are going to be fixed. But I think they just fully believe, like, I feel like they're the most confident team right now about themselves, which is always good. I think they feel like they can turn it on. So I don't know. I mean, I'm not willing to say that they're, you know, like, going to miss the playoffs, but I mean, there are some issues. Like, they need to worry about some of these things. I think it was Jeff Van Gundy said on Zach Lowe's podcast, he's like, they need to start practicing. So, yeah, I mean, they have some issues.
They're in trouble. I think this team, LeBron's like, James Harden went down right with the hamstring, and LeBron had a chance to kind of like make a name, like push himself into the MVP race, and he's completely squandered it. I mean, the Cavs have been awful. LeBron had one assist the other night in a loss. And then last night, them blowing that 22-point lead to the Pacers. I watched the game. Like, it was 34-12 or whatever it was, and they mm-hmm. blew it. And LeBron and everyone was really energetic to start off the game. LeBron had a couple hammered, like, you know, throw. He was 4-for-4 from the field with 8 points to start off the game. And they fell apart. Like, the second half, they looked dead. It's really strange to see from LeBron team.
What would you guys say is the number one issue for the Cavs? Is it their defense? Is it the effort, lack of focus, or is it just the bodies they have? You know, having the older guys just makes it a lot harder to play defense against young dudes.
I mean, in a lot of ways, I think it's the roster. You know, Kevin Love is not, you know, a great defender. Isaiah Thomas, not a great defender. LeBron is a good defender when he wants to be, but, you know, he goes a long periods of time without trying. I think Jay Crowder, I think everybody's already said, like, I think it's overstated how good he is as a defender. And, you know, J.R. Smith is kind of hit or miss, but off the bench, Korver gives the effort. You know, I just think that roster-wise, they just don't have enough plus defenders to do anything about that end. But they're going to rely on their offense, just like they did last year. You know, like, they're going to rely on outscoring people. The real weird thing, though, is, like, I mean, I don't know how they could really think that they could beat the Warriors or the Rockets, you know, like those two teams that play defense and can outscore you. So I'm not sure what Cleveland can do. I don't know. But I think it's a roster problem.
It's funny. You know, I agree. The roster isn't the defenders on Cleveland are terrible. They're not a good defensive team, and there's really no way with the amount of old guys you have. Who made the point? Charles Barkley or someone said they're just not athletic.
Yeah,
you can't be a successful team and not be athletic with the new age of basketball. It just doesn't work, and that's really been Cleveland's problem. They just can't keep up with fast paced teams. They just pretty much get lost. Yeah, and on defense, they take way too many chances. They try and go for the steal. They overhelp. Like, LeBron gets caught a lot, like reaching or trying to get a quick steal, like playing for stats almost. And someone came out, I read it today, that LeBron apparently has been you know, they teammates, I think he's very selfish. He's kind of like stat padding. He only looks for passes that will get him an assist. Like, that's bad. If LeBron, I don't know. There's a lot of bad stuff going on in Cleveland.
Yeah, yeah, definitely a mess. And I think maybe one of the smartest things Charles Barkley ever said. And I think when you look at the offseason, it was funny. Everybody was like, oh, the Cavs added so many pieces. They're going to be so much better. But they didn't add any pieces that helped their needs. You know, they weren't fast enough in the finals. They didn't play good enough defense in the finals. And none of the guys they really added helped them in that department. And I agree. I think both of you are correct in the sense that just the roster isn't, you know, added up right where they have the defenders that can defend on that team.
Well, that too, and I would also say just to that, like, even having, like, a some kind of rim protector, because LeBron is kind of counted on to be that other rim protector, and, you know, like we've talked about, he doesn't always seem interested in being in the best position, which is part of the reason is because, you know, he's doing so much offensively. But, you know, that's why you wonder, like, you know, they talk so much about DeAndre Jordan getting traded. You know, would the Cavs, like, I don't know, send Kevin Love, or would they try to ship something to get DeAndre Jordan? I mean, and that's the thing, is I don't even know if that would help their problems defensively, but it would definitely be an upgrade over Thompson and, you know, Kevin Love defensively, that is.
Yeah, I think the trade would make a huge impact.
A real thing for the Cavs. And I think for the Cavs' perspective, they're looking at it for, you know, two different ways. You know, do we take this chance and trade the Brooklyn pick and there's still the chance LeBron leaves? Or do we go all in and, you know, we don't really care what happens with LeBron. We're going to try to win this season. Do you think the Cavs could make some type of trade that would give them the opportunity to compete with the Warriors this year?
To compete with the Warriors? No, I don't think so. I don't think there's any trade unless, like, I don't know, unless they can trade Jose Calderon for James Harden. I mean, maybe then, like, but I just don't, I just don't see a trade that could do that.
I, you know, there was hopes with DeMarcus Cousins, perhaps. I saw summers about them possibly being interested in Paul George if he was going to be moved. Seems kind of like far-fetched at this point in time. And DeAndre Jordan, that's like the only trade they can make to a degree. And does it even really matter? Because it doesn't compare to anything the Warriors have. Like, it doesn't. DeAndre Jordan isn't what puts you over the top.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they just need more on the perimeter, more guys that can play defense and shoot. So I'm not sure, like, you know, because those players are really valuable these days. So I just don't know what they do. And I think that speaks to another issue, though, is how much do the Cavs really want to give up? Because I think that kind of plays into what's going on with the whole LeBron thing too. I think there's a lot of guys who, you know, they've got to feel like, well, LeBron, like, here's this guy tearing into us, telling us all these things, and, like, he's going to leave after this year. He doesn't care. Like, why should we care? I don't know. I mean, it's a really weird team. You know, a very weird mix.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Obviously, LeBron's, you know, free agency is looming over the team. Then also the fact when, you know, nobody on the roster is really safe. Like, you could be traded, like Kyrie was just traded. So I think anything could really happen. The only way I see the Cavs able to do something to compete with the Warriors, it would have to be some type of blockbuster trade where they don't make one move. It would have to be like a roster makeover. Because like you guys said, there's just so many issues all over the place. So as of right now, I feel a lot less confident than I did last year about the Cavs making an interesting series. How do you feel about the Cavs in terms of the Eastern Conference playoffs? Are they a lock to make to the finals, or are you a lot more concerned than you've ever been?
I'm concerned. I mean, J.R. Smith is terrible. Can we seriously talk about how bad he is now? Like, he's no longer a polarizing player. Like, there are no J.R. Smith moments. Yeah, he's dreadful to watch. He has like flashes. He never dunks. He can't dunk. I'm convinced he can't dunk anymore. but in the Eastern Conference playoffs, Toronto's playing like a bunch of – like, they're pissed. Everyone in Toronto plays like they're pissed off. Like, just – they have an edge about them this year. Everyone from top to bottom plays hard. You know, they kicked the crap out of the Cavs the other night for whatever it's worth.
They really did.
And they did have Kyle Lowry. And they just – all the point guards. Van Leet played great. Dellen Wright has really stepped up. Norman Powell's playing better. CJ Miles. I mean, Toronto plays really hard. And I don't know, that Cleveland looks defeated. Right now, this is the defeated Cavaliers team. Like, they play as if they're defeated. And if this team was to face up against the Raptors, Celtics, I'm not even sure I'd go as far as the Wizards just yet. But those two teams could seriously challenge Cleveland.
For me, I think yes, just because I think there are – I think the East, there's just some tough matchups for them. You know, I think Milwaukee, even though Milwaukee's kind of struggling right now, they're a tough matchup. Indiana's played Cleveland tough all season. I wouldn't want any part of Miami. The Wizards are the Wizards. And then you have Boston and Toronto. And that's even – and we haven't even said Philadelphia and Detroit too. So, I mean, all of those matchups, I don't think Cleveland is going to – if they play – I don't know. Let's say they're. I mean, what could we agree on that they, the at worst, they're the four seed, maybe?
Three or four is the most likely thing.
Three or four. So yeah. Right now, if it ended today, Cleveland would play Detroit, and I don't see them sweeping Detroit. I don't see them beating Detroit in five games. I mean, they're going to have to really put effort into it. I mean, you know, even last season they had trouble with Indiana in the first round, even though they did sweep. But I just don't see that this year. I think the East is deeper. I think there's some good teams, and I just don't know. I mean, like you said, I still think Cleveland can get to the finals, but I think it's going to be a very, very difficult road, because even if you win the first round, you're either going to play Boston or Toronto, because I probably see them finishing 1 and 2. So I don't know. It's going to be a tougher road for them. That's for sure.
I can almost guarantee that Cleveland doesn't finish outside the top three in the East. I mean, even still with all the struggles, what are they, 26-16? Or
yeah.
26-17?
Yeah, that's right. I'm 26-16. I'm
right, okay,
there's
right still
now.
10 games over 500. This team isn't going to flaunter much longer. They're like, even like their next game, I don't care who they're playing, they're going to win. LeBron's probably going to drop 45, and he's going to – everyone in the media is going to quiet down for a game or so, because LeBron's going to – you know, Cleveland found it, blah, blah, blah. And we'll be talking about them struggling in like 2 weeks. But, you know, they're not in any trouble. Like, in standing.
Are you sure about that? They play the Warriors in Golden State.
Oh, that's a nice game. All right, so they lose one more. Yeah. They lose one more. And then they win.
But the Magic are dead. The Magic are dead next Thursday.
Okay, that game, they're dead.
That's really interesting they play the Warriors. But I agree. I just looked it up.
Yeah, I just looked it up.
It's funny because there's no hype, because who cares?
There isn't.
It's god awful.
Yeah.
Usually we're like circling on the calendar. We already were thinking about it last week, and now we're worried about the Cavs just getting through the finals. I think, come playoff time, LeBron goes Super Saiyan, does his thing. They'll probably have a harder task this time. They should still get to the finals as long as they maintain, you know, being healthy and play okay defense. I don't think that, like we said, they're ever going to be a good defensive team. They're still in pretty good shape, though, to win the East, unless something. You know, unless some team can really take the next level in the playoffs, which they haven't shown yet. But let's talk about. Oh, go ahead. Oh,
well, just the final thing. I'm sorry to cut you off there, but it'll be interesting too to see like what happens, because if they do get to the finals, I mean, if they get destroyed, I think that sets up LeBron being able to leave a little easier, just saying like, we don't have it. Kind of like what happened with Miami when the Spurs destroyed them. But if they get to the finals and play competitively, would that be enough to signal to him that, oh, well, maybe we're not that far off? So that would be interesting to see if they did get to the finals. Sorry to cut you off.
No problem. I agree. I think it would be interesting. To me, though, the only thing, if I'm LeBron, like, I don't know, even if I'm competitive, like, what can the Cavs really do to improve our roster, considering our salary situation and then the contracts we have looming ahead? I don't know. I just think – like that whole Kyrie Irving trade. Yeah, the draft pick too. And depends on, you know, if they trade the pick, they keep the pick, they pick up another all-star, a lot of variables too.
Yeah.
So I think LeBron probably has an idea. And I think at some point LeBron maybe didn't make his decision yet. And he's going to kind of get a feel maybe for, you know, who's willing to come to Cleveland, if he can work anything out or whatever is available.
Yeah.
So moving on to another team in the East, the Miami Heat, 6 straight wins, current 4th seed in the East, top 10 defensive rating, top 10 net rating in January. Whiteside's healthy, picked it up. Dragic starting to look nice, 20-7 in January. What are your thoughts on the Heat?
Well, I looked at the Heat. I hadn't really been focusing on them too much lately, But somebody had written, I saw a tweet that somebody had done, and I can't remember who it was, but they had basically said that Josh Richardson was going to be the next Kawhi Leonard.
I saw that.
Kind of like this guy that was, you know, under the radar. And so I started looking into him, and he's been pretty good lately for them, and especially with Dion Waiters is now going to be out for the season. But they're 8-3 this season without Waiters. And, you know, that like they've been on this 6-game winning streak without him. And you know, Richardson's got – he's putting up 17 per game in his last 13 games. And he's, you know, a really efficient scorer. He's only 35% from three, but, you know, that's not bad. I don't know. I like the Heat a lot. They just have a lot of guys that can play. Like, they don't have anybody coming off the bench that's not good. And I think, you know, with Bam, the rookie Bam Adebayo, I think Whiteside being injured was perfect for him to just get a chance to get in there and get minutes and get reps and get comfortable. And that's the thing with the Heat. That's what makes them so dangerous to me is like, they just have, I mean, I don't have the stat in front of me, but I would wager that they've probably had 6 or 7 guys lead them in scoring in different games this year, which I'm not sure if any other team can really say that. Just based on some of those things, they remind me a lot of those mid 2000s Rockets teams, you know, like they had a ton of guys that were, you know, good basketball players. Like they didn't really have a, you know, like a super duper star, but they had just guys that could play and they always were, you know, finished with a winning record or close to a winning record. So I like the Heat a lot. I'm not sure what they'd be able to do in the playoffs or what their ceiling is. But in terms of what they're doing right now, I mean, they're a tough team to beat and they've got some big wins.
That was spot on. That was really good. I agree with almost everything you said just then, Dennis. The Miami Heat coming into the year, you know, we didn't really know what they were going to be because they were, what, 11-31 then 31-11 last year. So it could have been a fluke. But they've been great. It's like the next man up mentality there. Like Whiteside got hurt, Kelly Olynyk and Bam stepped up. And watching them beat the Pacers the other night, Bam hits like elbow jump shots. Like I didn't know he had a jump shot. I thought he was just like a high energy dunk guy. This guy is making jump shots now. And, you know, that's lethal. Whiteside is obviously being put back into the lineup. And then Josh Richardson has been really good. And Tyler Johnson, you know, he's worth that contract. The 4 years, $50 million, that's a steal at this point because that kid looks like he's going to be really good.
Yeah, honestly, I think, like you said, Dennis, they just have so many pieces across the board, so many different guys that can contribute. Spoelstra does a great job of making sure everybody knows what they do and, you know, their role in that certain game. What do you think about the Heat in terms of where they're going to end up seating-wise? You know, right now they're in that top half. Do you think they're going to be able to possibly earn a home court advantage in the playoffs, or it's kind of unlikely?
I don't think so. I mean – is like the ultimate tease. Like they'll win like 4 games in a row and they'll dominate everybody and then they lose to nobody.
Yep.
So I don't know that Washington, Detroit, Milwaukee, even Indiana. I mean, you know, that time without Oladipo really hurt them. But I could see any of those teams jumping them. I don't think Miami will be the 4 seed. I don't think so.
I don't think they'll be a 4 seed either. I think they could be a 5 seed. I know that's one spot down, but I wouldn't be surprised if they were a 5 seed because this team just plays scrappy enough. And Eric Spoelstra, you know, is he in for running of Coach of the Year again already? Because in my eyes, he has to be, right?
Yes.
Like one of the most underrated coaches, I think, in the league. He's fantastic with how he develops players and everything else. But I wouldn't be surprised if they got a 5 seed, but I think they're more like a 6 or a 7.
Yeah, it's nice to see Spoelstra start to kind of get some more respect. You know, when LeBron was there, everybody was like, oh, he's only, you know, winning games because he has so much talented players. But now he does a great job getting the most out of guys. Like you mentioned, Tyler Johnson, Richardson, even Whiteside, you know, he bounced around the league and he finally came into his own in Miami. But talking Heat, can the Heat win a playoff series this year?
Yes, depending on the matchup, I think they absolutely can. With Whiteside, I mean, Whiteside is one of those super divisive players. Like I've had conversations with people because I like Whiteside that have you know, they think he's horrible. They think he's, you know, just not a good player. I really like Whiteside, and in the right matchup, I think he could really cause problems for a team like Cleveland. You know, if they match up with Cleveland in the first round, I mean, who's stopping Whiteside? Who's stopping Adebayo? You know, and the Heat have so many guys to throw at LeBron. You know, they got James Johnson to throw at him. They've got Justice Winslow to throw at him. I don't know. They're just a tough matchup. I mean, I don't know if I would take them in a series against Cleveland, but I think they could win. I mean, I think they could beat Boston. I think they could beat Toronto. But, you know, I heard somebody say it. I think it was Bill Simmons maybe. Like, there are games you watch where the Heat look like the best team in the NBA, and there are games you watch where they look awful. So it's one of those things where lately they've been great, and it'll be interesting to see how they play in a playoff setting.
Yeah, I definitely think they could win a first-round matchup if the seeding matches up correctly. There's one of those teams where, you know, they had, like, they're so deep, and in a seven-game series, that's so important. I mean, we saw the Rockets last year play, what, seven patient, where everybody had to play pretty much full games. Like, Miami will never have to do that, and that will help them in a playoff series of seven games. So I wouldn't be surprised if they got matched up with, like, the Wizards, and they could give the Wizards a really tough time. And I'm not sure they could beat Cleveland or the Celtics, but anyone else, they could give them, like, a nice seven-game series.
Yeah.
Toronto, they played a pretty good series. I mean, it wasn't actually a good series. Both teams played pretty bad basketball, but it was a close series a few years ago.
It was.
And it was like it seemed like neither team wanted to win. And the next team just ended up facing Cleveland anyway. So,
yeah.
But definitely the Heat, I think a lot of it depends on matchup. And kind of like what you guys are saying, what Heat team are we seeing at that time? Like you mentioned, some nights they look amazing. The Nets blew them out by 30 points in Miami like a week and a half ago. So losses like that are not going to make you feel too confident.
Yeah, and that's the thing with Richardson, whatever his potential may be, you know, like while he has games, you know, if you look on his game log, you know, you'll see games where he had 28, 26, 18, 19. And, you know, in that game against, I think it was the Raptors game, he had six. So I do worry, like, that they don't have that consistent guy. I think Dragic can be that guy for them, but I'm not sure. I mean, it just seems like the way they play, I love the way they play. It's kind of that, like, well, you know, we don't need to force feed anybody. Like, we're just going to get our points in the flow of the offense, and whoever scores, scores. But I mean, come playoff time, it seems like it's been proven that you kind of need that guy who's gonna get buckets for you.
It's refreshing watching a Miami Heat game because they actually play basketball. There's yeah. there's only five teams in the league that do that, and them and the Spurs for me are two teams I can always watch because they just play good basketball.
God, I love the Spurs. Oh man.
Well, talking West, we're gonna talk about a team who is not doing too good in the West, and that's OKC.
Boo. No. Sorry.
They deserve the boos. A lot of struggles in OKC. Big three is not working out. You know, they're in the playoff picture right now, but they're only the seventh seed. Three straight losses, 5-5 in their last 10. Roberson's been banged up. Their defense hasn't been as good. 25th in defensive rating in January. What is wrong with OKC right now?
Overreactions.
Yeah.
They're fine.
Yeah.
They're okay. I actually think they're okay. I think they actually did figure it out when they got in that little winning streak where, you know, Russ is the vocal point, Paul George is the shooter, like second ball handler, and Melo is the shooter. And it was working. The fact of the matter is Melo and Paul George went cold again. They shot, I think, combined last game 9 for 36 combined. If those two guys aren't going to hit shots, they're not going to win games. You just have to hope that your stars hit shots more times than they don't. And just recently, they've been cold more times than they're hot. And that's been the biggest issue with OKC majority of the year.
But do you think some of that has to do with, you know, sorry, Dennis, with their offense and, you know, not getting easy shots? Obviously, Melo's made a career of taking a lot of tough shots. Paul George, somewhat, but he's, you know, he's done good in systems with good teams like the Pacers when they had, you know, the top seeds. But don't you think some of it is just not finding a good rhythm? Because obviously we could all agree they're really talented players, especially offensively. And, you know, it's not common for guys to be so hot and cold if they're in a good offense.
I mean, if you watch them play, though, like, they do get a lot of good looks. I mean, at times the ball does get stagnant, but I mean, they have decent ball movement, but a lot of times, yes, Melo's different. Melo takes boneheaded shots because he just gets in. He gets tunnel vision. Like when you play like pickup games, there's always that one kid with tunnel vision. Like Melo's like a supercharged pickup game guy, which is why Hoodie Melo is so infamous. But I guess, Nick, to a degree, like if Russ gets too gung-ho, then it kind of screws up the flow. I don't know. I think it's more so them just not hitting shots.
I think it's more to do with just, you know, they've decided that they're going to play the way they did last year to an extent and just let Westbrook go crazy. And, you know, like the last, I don't know, out of the last, you know, 10 games, he's only taken less than 20 shots once. I mean, I think they're okay to an extent, but I don't think that they're going to be a high seed. I think they might be a 6 or 7 seed in the playoffs. I think Paul George, like he's struggled in some games. He's still shooting over 40% from three, which is great. Melo, I'm not sure what Melo's shooting. To me, this has been really bad because Russell Westbrook has been crazy good lately. I mean, you know, I looked it up and he's been, you know, he shot over 50% in 10 of their last 14 games, which is something he does not do very often. And so there are going to be games where Westbrook can't shoot and he's not making any shots. And that's going to be more often than not. Just to me, it just seems like the team just is not constructed well. I mean, I like Westbrook and George together. But Melo is just an awkward fit. Like he doesn't want to be the third wheel, and that's what he needs to be. But it just seems like when you watch them play, like you can call the possessions when Melo's going to shoot the ball.
You always can.
Like when you watch the game, it's like as soon as Melo touches the ball, there are certain possessions where you're like, Melo is absolutely shooting this ball. Like he is not passing it back. He's going to jab step. He's going to take a shot. And like that works sometimes for him. But to me, like if they really want to, you know, play up a level, I think Melo needs to play like 25 minutes a game. That's it. More minutes for Adams, more minutes for Abrines. Like Alex Abrines is pretty good for them off the bench. I think they do. It's funny enough, they miss Roberson. Like as bad as he is offensively, they miss him defensively because, you know, when he's out on the court, like he takes those tough assignments and that frees Paul George and Russell Westbrook up to get, you know, a ton of steals, which I was watching a Minnesota game and they showed the deflection leaders in the NBA and Westbrook and George are like in the top 10, like top 5 together. So I think Roberson being there, he's a really important part of their team and what they do. And honestly, in some ways he's more important than Carmelo is. But they are a dangerous team, though. That's the tricky thing about it is I don't see them getting higher than a 6 or 7 seed, but I could totally see them like upsetting the Spurs in the first round, which I would hate because I like the Spurs, but I could totally see that happening. Like they get matched up with the Spurs in the first round, and they somehow manage to win and get to the second round, which. Would that be enough to keep Paul George and Carmelo, you know, on the team, or would that be a sign for them that they need to go?
Yeah, I think I don't know if they're definitely not a home court team in the West. They'll probably be a 5 seed at best, but like, you know, 5 through 7 is right where the Thunder are going to stand, you know. And in the first round, I mean, would anyone want to play Westbrook, Paul George, and Melo for the 7-game series? Westbrook at right now at this point in time, like you said, Dennis, is shooting well above for him. Paul George is shooting extremely well from three. Like I said before, I'm not really worried about the Thunder. I just think it's going to be a gelling period of them trying to figure out roles. But I do agree, you know, they don't make a playoff run if Melo doesn't realize he's the third wheel. I think he does need to take a step back because, like you said, Dennis, there is a thing called a Melo possession because, like, it's like, oh, when's the last time Melo shot? Oh, he hasn't shot in five possessions. Oh, he's shooting this one. He's not letting the ball go out of his hand if he touches it. Like, you just know it's coming, and that's not good. You know?
Especially when
you're getting older and you're not as quick and you're not as limber as you used to be.
Yeah, and he could still score. I mean, I don't want to, you know, I mean, I'm not a big Carmelo fan. I've always said that, but I mean, he could still score, you know, like the guy can score. He's a good basketball player. But having said that, their next three games are against Charlotte, I think, on the road. And then they've got Sacramento and the Lakers. So that's right there. Those could be three wins in a row, a three-win streak. And then, you know, we'll be talking about, okay, OKC's back. They're good to go. So they're just one of those teams, I think, with all of the questions on the roster, I feel like it's just going to be a state of flux all season. It's going to be, have they figured it out? Oh, now they didn't figure it out. Oh, maybe they I think it's just going to be all season for them. And that's the team to me. Like, I am so intrigued by what's going to happen. And there are so many different things. Like, will they trade Paul George before the deadline? You know, will Paul George come back? They're just a fascinating team to me in that regard.
Yeah, I think I'm a little bit less confident than you guys. I mean, I agree that come playoff time that they're probably still going to be a tough out. But the fact that they're losing games now and they're not going to be able to get that higher seeding, it's going to hurt them because I think all of us would agree if they got a matchup in the first round with Houston or Golden State, they're going to lose. I think they could beat the Spurs. They could probably beat Minnesota. But I mean, if in a seven-game series, I might pick Minnesota right now.
Well, that's the thing. If for me, Golden State and Houston have had a lot of injuries so far this season, and it would not like it to me. Golden State got really lucky last year with being matched up with Portland in the first round there. You know, because they didn't have Durant for the whole series, I believe. And it's just one of those things though, like if they get a 7 or 8 seed and Houston and or Golden State is, you know, limping into the playoffs, you know, would they be able to get it together? I mean, that's a huge if right there, but you never know.
Yeah. I mean, obviously injuries included, they definitely could always make a big difference. I think if the Warriors have Steph Curry out for the playoffs, you know, Houston might be our favorite. Say Chris Paul's out too. You know, who knows? Maybe the Spurs could get back to the finals. But I think OKC, not that, you know, come playoff time, they won't necessarily be ready. But right now, I think they're wasting time. So you know, they could really win these games. And I think it would help their seeding more so and put them in a better position. You know, getting blown out by the Phoenix Suns, you shouldn't do that.
Yeah. Well, I think these next 3 weeks are going to be huge weeks for OKC. Because this is a team that needs to make a move at the deadline. Even if you're not going to trade Paul George and Melo, or you can't trade Melo, but if you're not going to trade Paul George, they need off this bench, like a shooter or someone who can create some offense. Because the bench unit, you know, they can hold a lead and they play decent defense, but no one scores. You know, there is no offense really. Like Raymond Felton is your best offensive piece off the bench besides Alex Abrines.
Yeah, Patterson's been hurt. I think Patterson will. I think he's been playing a little better lately when he gets to play. But
I saw
Patterson,
him as a layup the other night, though, and I was
he's been hurt. He had that. I think it was a knee injury. So I'm not sure what's wrong with Patterson because I've watched him too, and I'm just kind of like, man, what's going on with this guy? But flipping it on you guys and me asking you a question. What do you think is the minimum requirement for them success-wise for Paul George to stay? Or do you think he's gone?
You want to go first, Corey, or you want me to jump in?
Go ahead, Nick.
I think competitive second-round series against either Houston or Golden State. I mean, it would have to be something where you believe that if, you know, one bounce goes your way that you could beat them next year, which I don't think is the case. So I think Paul George is definitely going to lock. So it leads to my next question, but Corey, go ahead.
I said they have to get out of the first round. Paul George has gotten out of the first round, I think, since 2013 or 2012.
14, I believe.
Right, okay, even farther back. Oh, no, not even farther, but right. You got me. So I think they have to advance at least one round. And then, like you said, Nick, I think you're spot on. They'd have to have a competitive series against, you know, the Rockets or the Warriors for them to say, well, we can beat these guys if we gear up for next year.
Yeah. And what do you think is now looking at the other end of the spectrum, saying OKC doesn't do well the next 2 weeks, they're hanging at 500, they're just holding on to the eighth seed, or they're in that ninth spot. Do you think they consider moving Paul George this season for a package to the Lakers, maybe for a Jordan Clarkson, Julius Randle type of thing, add some more punch to their team and maybe try to change it up? Or no, they're not going to trade Paul George and hold on to him all year?
I think they hold on to him all year. I don't think they – I think unless they're going to get a bona fide superstar guy back, I just don't know. Like, an interesting trade to me would be trading him straight up for Cousins. If Cousins will agree to sign with OKC. Now, they already have Adams, but I think Cousins could play next to Adams, possibly.
Or you can move Adams. He has really good
value.
You
could move Adams, too. So something like maybe, I don't know, Adams and Paul George for Cousins and...
Giroux.
God, the Holiday. Pelicans roster is...
I think Holiday would probably ask in some maybe...
wasteland.
I could see something like that. Maybe sending some, like, Etuan Moore and some other pieces.
Just something like that. Just because I mean, to me, like, George is – he's a really, really good player. But I get the vibe, kind of like you guys do, that if it does not go well, like, if they don't get out of the first round, I think it's going to be like, I tried it out. I'm out of here. So I don't know,
though, because I don't think he goes to L.A. L.A. doesn't make any sense to me for Paul George, realistically, if I'm being honest. He refuses to play power forward. So is Brandon Ingram going to play power forward? Or is Paul George going to play the two guard? And then if you're going to try and get LeBron, like, I don't know. I think L.A. fans are a little bit delusional on how many players they think they're going to get and who they think they're going to get.
Wait, you mean Laker fans are delusional? No way.
Right?
The one thing I'll say about George, though, emotionally, he seems to just really have a strong tie to L.A. being from there. I mean, his parents at the game, it just seemed like he really enjoyed that. So I'm not willing to write off the Lakers. Like, I think it's a possibility. I don't think the Lakers would land everybody, but I could see them possibly just landing George. Like, I don't know why. Like, Corey, you obviously watched him and know him better than I do. But for some reason, like, the quotes, and maybe I'm reading too much into what he's saying, but it just seems like he's so in love with L.A. and in love with Magic.
I mean, he truly does want to play for in L.A. He wants to go home. I just don't know for a basketball fit, like, if it's about winning a title or if it's about winning, I just don't know if L.A.'s that place. Like, he's entering his prime, and I don't think the Lakers are going to be ready by the end of his prime.
Well, I mean, even if they get Paul George and LeBron and put them – let's just pretend you put them on that Lakers team – so who's their center?
They're not going to get LeBron. They're going to get DeMarcus Cousins and Paul George, realistically.
Well, if they get Cousins, so you got Cousins, Ingram, Paul George, Lonzo, and
Kuzma.
That five plus whoever they bring off the bench,
scary.
You're not beating the Warriors with that. Like, you're not beating the Warriors. You're not beating the Rockets. But you know, I mean, if you can get those two guys, you get them. But, you know, if those guys want to win titles, you know, if Paul George wants to win a title, I'm not sure what team he goes to, you know, I don't know, you know, maybe
San Antonio.
Yeah. Maybe the Spurs. I don't know.
They were supposed to play together, but the Pacers had a trade to pick. That was Kawhi Leonard for George Hill. There could have been Kawhi Leonard and Paul George on the same court.
Hey, that was a good pickup for the Pacers, though. I mean, they conference finals 2 years in a row, right? I mean,
hey, it's not Kawhi Leonard, though.
Yeah, that's true. But would he be Kawhi Leonard if he went to the Pacers?
I know. Who knows? Probably not.
He might be. Exactly. He might be. Yeah, he might be. I like Frank Vogel. I mean, I think he would have developed him. I don't know.
I don't know if
Orlando Magic.
Kawhi becomes an offensive guy, but defensively, I think he gets it.
Yeah, maybe defensively, but yeah.
the what ifs. Me and Jack were talking about that on the Brooklyn Buzz. What ifs is kind of everything in the NBA. But OKC, we'll see what happens with OKC and what if they go far in the playoffs. But let's talk Clippers. Clippers, a team that this team has been all over the place. They start the season really hot. They look like one of the worst teams in the league. You know, then they start to get a resurgence. Lou Will has been on fire. They've won three straight, seven of their last three. Like I said, Lou Will's averaging 32 a game in January, six assists, and he's shooting over 40% from three. Like, what has happened to the Clippers? How are they back to being pretty good again?
It's another what if. You know, what if they want to keep going down this road? What if they want to blow it up?
That's the question.
I think it's fool's gold right now. I mean, it's just, you know, like they're putting together a nice little run, but, you know, I mean, honestly, in some ways, like, injuries are the best thing that's happened to them in some ways. Like, I think that it's forced Doc to play guys that he doesn't normally play. You know, he doesn't really like to have a long rotation. And, you know, guys are getting minutes. And Lou Williams is one of those guys. Like, he can get hot for a couple of weeks. And, you know, I mean, he
when you see games.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. But at the same time, I mean, during their win streak, well, let's say, you know, the last 10 games. Let's see. They played the Suns. I'm looking at it right now. They played the Suns. The Kings, they've played the Kings twice. They're playing the Kings again next.
Must be
they
nice.
Played the Hornets. They've played the Grizzlies twice. They lost one of them. They played the Lakers. They've played the Warriors twice. They've played the Rockets. And they've won some of those games. But, you know, that Warriors game, I mean, they won. But, you know, there was no Klay Thompson. There was no Steph Curry. So I think part of it is, you know, they're winning games that they're supposed to win. I do think that they need, you know, they need to figure out what they want to do. You know, is being an 8 seed good enough for them? You know, is that something that they're going to be excited about? And to me, like, that's the situation that is interesting to me is, you know, why not try to trade, you know, why not try to trade some of these guys that have value right now? Like, DeAndre Jordan, you know, try to get some young guys back. Maybe even trading Blake Griffin. Like, that story came out that they offered him for Karl Anthony Towns. Whether or not that's true, I don't know. But who would, you know, if Minnesota took that trade, I mean, good
Can
Lord.
Can we see how dumb it was even to, like, tweet
It's not even a good
that?
2K trade. It's not even a good 2K
why
trade.
Why even share that? Like, just sharing a proposed trade to me is so dumb. I just don't understand. Oh, they offered Blake Griffin for Karl Anthony Towns. He said no. Like, all right.
Well, it's always interesting to me. Those are, I mean, it is annoying to an extent, but it can also it's also fascinating sometimes. Like there's this story where like Jerry Krause wanted to trade Michael Jordan for David Robinson.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
like 1990 or something crazy true. Like that. Yeah, to me though, I mean, I think the Clippers when they're fully healthy. I think that and that's the thing is maybe that's their thought process is like, hey, we have a good team into the playoffs and get healthy. Like we can, you know, we can do something. So for them, I mean, I don't think they're going to blow it up. I don't think they're going to trade Lou Williams. I don't think they're going to trade DeAndre. I think they're going to stand pat and I think they're going to try to, you know, get healthy for the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Lou Williams just like the journeyman. He just every year he's just on a different team. I do think Lou Williams gets traded. I think someone's going to offer a first round draft pick, and probably something that helps them, you know, do this kind of like a fast rebuild around Blake Griffin and DeAndre. I'm not sold that DeAndre gets moved, even though, you know, the article came out a report that the Cavs are now extremely interested in DeAndre Jordan for Tristan Thompson. I just don't know why you would even make that trade because Tristan Thompson has pretty much lost all value in my eyes, at least.
Well, I think they throw a pick in there too. Yeah, no. I think it'd be a
yeah.
The Nets
I mean,
pick
if they
too? The Nets
if, yeah,
pick?
I think yeah. That's what people have said.
I think
pick too.
It's been talk about is it going to be the Cavs pick or the Nets pick that they're going to be willing to throw into trades? That's a big difference.
If it's
for the
Nets pick, then there's no way the Cavs do that for DeAndre. He's not worth the Nets pick, in my opinion.
Thanks, Corey. I'm just kidding.
well, and that to me is the interesting part is that, you know, like if Paul George, like, I mean, if you put Paul George with Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan, like, that's a nice team.
Oh, yeah, it is. So I agree.
Instead of the Lakers, like, I would be maybe looking at the Clippers if I'm any of these guys that really desperately want to be in L.A. I mean, I don't know. It just seems to me that...
That's what I was alluding to before a little bit by saying, like, he just wants to be in L.A. I'm not sure he'll go to the Lakers.
But I don't think they have the... I mean, I don't think they can sign people outright. It just depends on...
I think
their cap is all screwed up. Messed it up last year.
Yeah, I'm looking at their salaries now. Jordan, DJ has a player option. So if he picks up his option, he's on for $24 million next year.
I think he hits free agency, though.
Maybe, yeah, he might decline. The Gallinari contract is going to hurt him because he's for the next 2 years at $21 and $22 million.
Oh, God.
Austin Rivers has a player option.
I always forget that he's even on the team because, like, every year he's always hurt. He plays like five games.
Yeah,
we were pretty critical of the signings.
Yeah, we called it.
I just hate giving money to guys like Gallinari. Reminded me of the Parsons deal, and Parsons even younger. Like, you just don't give money to guys like that. And Dennis just hit on a great point. You don't sign Gallinari. You just keep the money. Like, having cap space in the NBA is not a bad thing. You usually can get trade assets. Look at the Nets. They picked up Damari Carroll, a first and second round pick. Now they might move Damari Carroll for another first round pick. So having empty cap space is not a bad thing. I think signing Gallinari was a killer. And it kind of restricts them for what they do, because they bought all in now into making the 8 seed. And they'll look stupid if they don't keep the team together and try to push for the playoffs. If I was in charge, obviously I'm not an NBA GM, I wouldn't have done the moves they did this summer, but if they just hired me right now, I would make the trades. I'm moving DeAndre. I'm moving Lou. I'm trying to get first-round picks. I'm seeing if maybe I could do something with Blake, but most likely I can't because of the injury history. But this team's not a championship, and there's no way to make it a championship team anytime soon. So what's the point of it? That's how I view teams. Obviously, I'm not an NBA owner either, and I don't care about, you know, sales or whatever. But I think that's the way you got to look at it. It's like, is there a way I can make this team possibly in the future into a contending team? You know, even having a small chance or just the ability to add young guys? Or am I really restricting the team where we're just going to get a lot of middle draft picks? We're going to have all this money capped out, and we have major flaws on the team. It's not like the Clippers are 100% healthy or even a top 4 seed.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, for me, like, just looking at the roster, you know, like, it's not a horrible roster, just like you said, but top 4, no. And I think that's the problem, though, is that, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Clippers, because now it seems that Jerry West is more involved, and I'm not sure how involved he was in the Gallinari signing, but going forward, it'll be really interesting to see what they do, whether or not they try to blow it up and try to start from scratch. But that's the thing, is I don't know how you blow it up when Blake Griffin's got that huge contract. I don't know anybody that would be willing to take on that kind of money for Griffin, who, you know, unfortunately this season, like, it's just been, you know, freak accidents, you know, like Austin Rivers, you know, clips his knee and then he gets KO'd by the elbow. I mean, you know, you feel really bad for the guy, but it seems to keep happening to him. So.
Yeah, it's just bad luck, and it does happen. Even like somebody like Darren Williams a few years ago, I can't tell you how many times this guy landed on somebody else's foot when he came down from a layup. And like some of the stuff, it's not on them. They just get hurt, and there's nothing you can do. And I think the Clippers, the best value they'll get out of Blake is keeping him there, probably because, like you said, nobody's going to want that contract with the money attached.
Yeah, another handcuff with Blake.
It would be really – the only way I could see them dumping him, if it was, like, not a true salary dump, but they took him at, you know, 10 cents to the dollar to some mediocre or bad team that just wanted to add some pop.
Unless maybe the Suns wanted him.
Yes,
because they know the Suns offered him a contract. If the Suns wanted to give up, like, you know, Josh Jackson's kind of been shady, Tyson Chandler, and try to, like, dump some of those guys for Blake, I could see that happening.
I don't even think they'd have to give up Josh Jackson, but the Phoenix Suns were literally on the tip of my tongue because, like you said, they had interest in Blake this past summer. There was a lot of reports about him having a meeting with them. And also, we've touched on it before, the Suns always seem to want to add some pop to their team. So pieces were guys that have kind of not been as good. Dragan Bender, Marquise Chris, you know, guys like that.
Greg Monroe.
Yeah, package deal or something.
Another one I would say would be the Mavericks.
I like that.
Just because they've got some guys where, you know, they could talk themselves into, well, hey, you know, like Dennis Smith Jr., Harrison Barnes, Blake Griffin. Like, it's not a bad, you know, a bad start.
And then go out, then try and remend the fence with DeAndre and sign DeAndre in the off season.
Yeah, I mean, that would be like, and Griffin's.
I can see that happen. That'd be such a storyline.
Griffin's from Oklahoma, right? I mean, he's from that area. So, maybe the Bulls. I don't know.
Yeah, it depends a lot on the Clippers and what they value.
Yeah, Bulls got too many young guys.
I think it depends. So, I mean, obviously, Bulls just that guy, and I think just so many variables on him, because we could sound really stupid, you know, a week from now, Blake could come back healthy and look like, you know, the all-star level of himself like he did a few years ago. So health and a lot of different variables on that. But before we get out of here, quick fast-paced game. We try to end the outlet with something like this every week. It's going to be the NBA game picker. New game this week. And what I'm going to ask, I'm going to tell you two games, you know, location doesn't matter, and you're going to attend this game. So it's which one of these games would you rather attend? To start off, would you rather attend a game of the Brooklyn Nets versus the New York Knicks or the Los Angeles Clippers versus the LA Lakers?
Clippers, Lakers.
I'm going Knicks Nets.
I agree. I'm going Knicks Nets, and not even just because I'm a Nets fan. I don't know. I like that matchup a little bit better, and they're both like younger teams. I think the Knicks are probably a step ahead, but they're both around that same cusp where they'll probably be good in a couple years. So the Clippers and the Lakers, like, Clippers have DeAndre Blake and Lakers have a whole bunch of young guys, but I think both of them are pretty easy. So next game, Boston Celtics versus the Washington Wizards or the Toronto Raptors versus the Milwaukee Bucks?
Toronto Raptors, Milwaukee Bucks.
I think both the games have value. Boston, Washington.
You made me double think. Second guess myself, Dennis.
I think Boston, Washington gives you that drama.
Yeah.
And Milwaukee kind of has the intriguing basketball.
Yeah, and I just like the matchups with the Celtics. And although watching Giannis now, I'm double thinking. Ooh. Yeah, I'm going to stick.
The next one doesn't get any
Celtics
easier.
Wizards, yeah.
State Warriors versus the Minnesota Timberwolves or the Houston Rockets versus San Antonio Spurs?
Warriors, Timberwolves.
Rockets, so Spurs. Yeah, just because I want to watch the Spurs play.
Unless you Ginobili block Harden from behind again.
Oh, yeah. Nice. All day, every day.
That one hurt the soul for Harden fans. I mean, I like Harden a lot, and I'm not a Rockets fan or like Hardener fan, but I just felt bad for him because the amount of negative in all the memes that he had to get after that, they just probably killed him inside. But I'm thinking go ahead.
I was gonna say, keep an eye out for my Twitter pick. I got something for that block coming soon.
I think I go with Golden State Minnesota though, because I think Towns and Wiggins and all those young guys, they just bring their game up to a whole nother level when they face Golden State. So
yeah.
But the Cleveland Cavaliers versus the Boston Celtics or the Golden State Warriors versus the Houston Rockets?
Cleveland, Boston.
Golden State versus Houston. I want to see that.
Yeah, I've been praying for the series, you know, since probably like the first month of the season. I've been wanting to see Golden State versus Houston. I just think it's some intrigue, and we'll finally know if Houston really can compete at all with Golden State or if it's just all fool's gold. But last one. Would you rather see any other team in the finals versus other than Cleveland and Golden State?
I had a weird dream. This is an interesting sidebar. I had a weird dream, and for some reason, it was like I woke up, and it like in the dream I woke up, and the finals was the Knicks.
Oh my God.
And the Mavericks. And I remember, this year. And I was like, in the dream, I'm trying to check Basketball Reference to see how did the Warriors lose? And like the computer wouldn't connect to the internet. It was like kind of a bad dream. So I was like, oh my God. But I don't want to see Cleveland in the finals again. I don't. I would much rather see, you know, one of these other teams. Like, I'd love to see the Raptors in the finals or the Bucks. But I don't know. I mean, I want to see other teams, but I have a feeling that it might be Cleveland and Golden State again.
Oh boy, I'm gonna have to say it. It's gonna be Raptors Rockets.
What if it is that? Would be amazing.
I don't like that. That's like my dark horses. Like if everything in the world goes wrong, that's gonna be the finals. I do think it's gonna be Cleveland Golden State Part Four. But if there was to be like a doomsday scenario, it'd be Raptors Rockets.
Who's your both of your guys before you get out of here? I guess one last question: who's your second option for both conferences? Assuming number one is Golden State and number one is Cleveland, who's the runner up? Obviously, Corey has Houston and Toronto. What about you, yeah, Dennis?
Oh man, honestly, in the West, I'm sure of it. I think the Timberwolves. I think they could beat the Rockets. In the East, I'm not as sure. I want to say the Celtics, but I really like the way the Raptors are playing, so I'll say Raptors Timberwolves.
Yeah. This honestly, the Raptors and the Celtics is such a toss up. Like I think
Yeah, totally. I mean, because what if Hayward comes back? I mean,
exactly.
Yeah, but that's the thing is, would he even have too. Enough time? Yeah, that's the thing is, it would be, but if he can come back 100%, and like how much time would he need to get? I don't know.
I mean, he would still be limited to like 20-minute restriction a game. But I'm still Gordon Hayward for 20 minutes off the bench is better than no Gordon Hayward at all.
Even 10 minutes if you're really worried about him, you don't want to overuse him.
Yeah.
I think the one reason I might edge Boston over Toronto is Brad Stevens. Dwayne Casey just doesn't have that same appeal to me. He did a great job making the switches with the offense, a lot more motion this year.
He's turning DeRozan more into a,
and turning DeRozan more into a point guard. But the fact that Brad Stevens has the Celtics with a number one seed, at least last time I checked, in the Eastern Conference with losing Gordon Hayward, their second big acquisition this summer, and they're still able to dominate the way they are, and all the new pieces. I think it's easy to forget the Celtics have a ton of new pieces on their team. They're still competing at a high level. So I'd like to see Brad get another shot at LeBron, and I can't wait to see the playoffs, but obviously a lot of time left before that. But that wraps it up for today. As always, thank you everybody for listening. You can check the NBA Outlet on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OGGBasketball.com, and make sure you check out the OGG Basketball Podcast Network. We got a pod for everybody.
Check it out.
Swerve.